Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh in this bulletin. Donegal County Council has passed its budget for 2021. The Cathaoirleach welcomes the provision of €155.3 million to cover the council's day-to-day spending next year. We'll hear from Councillor Mary Trey Scholar, who says there are a number of issues that she would like to see addressed into the future. There are calls for an investigation into how COVID-19 is spreading at Letterkenny University Hospital. We'll hear a response from Seltha. We'll also hear from Councillor Jerry McMonagall about his concerns about some procedures there. The Taoiseach says he believes that shops, gyms and hairdressers will be the first premises to reopen next week when Ireland finally exits level 5. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. But we begin with Donegal County Council's budget for 2021. The budget was adopted at the first time of asking today, with Cathaoirleach Councillor Rena Donaghy welcoming the provision of €155.3 million to cover the authority's day-to-day spending next year. The council's three-year capital budget is separate. That will be considered next week. Well, Catherine Gaffney was in the Oral Leisure Centre in Letterkenny, for today's budget meeting, and she's been looking at the details of today's announcements.
As expected, the biggest chunk of the funding, €48.4 million, is to be spent on the county's road network. The breakdown of how the roads allocation will be spent next year remains virtually unchanged from 2020. Just over €20 million is being allocated for housing and building, while almost €16 million is being ring-fenced for the provision of public water services. Tourism also features prominently in the budget for 2021, with each municipal district set to get an extra €100,000 for minor tourism works. One of the big tourism highlights is a pending €12 million funding application for development works at Fort Dunray. A decision is expected before the end of this year. A study on the camping and caravan sector is also expected to be completed in 2021. It's anticipated that the Greenway network in Donegal will be developed further in the year ahead, with a Greenways team to be set up in the roads design section. It's hoped that that will be fully staffed by April of 2021. €2.5 million is to be spent on housing adaptation grants next year, while a new strategic vision for cultural services will be developed in 2021, with €5.5 million included in the budget for library, arts, museum and heritage services. It was proposed by Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Rena Donaghy, to adopt the budget, and it was seconded by Councillor Martin Harley. Councillor Micheál Colmogilla-Aspig said he could not support the budget for a number of reasons. While acknowledging the positives in the budget, Councillor McGillagh-Aspig believes some aspects of it are found wanting.
Well, Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher says while she supports the budget in general, there are some issues she would like to see addressed in the year ahead.
Two major issues that we want to see developed or investigated anyway will be the rail coming into to the county and joining that campaign that has already started up. And the second thing will be to investigate the possibility of having a major micro hydro or a hydro electrical plant based in the county or in the northwest region, and that would secure energy into the future. There were other things, you know, through housing and roads and all of those. One of the other initiatives that we looked at was developing the marketing campaign around the seven wonders of the county, which would also then develop into seven wonders of each of the regions of the county and would allow other, you know, small community groups who are looking for a branding, a place for their own branding to maybe develop, as I said in there, you know, if it was Arnmore Island, that they would have seven places, and it would encourage people to come and stay longer and also to do it throughout the year.
One of the issues you raised as well was Irish water and the serious issues that are affecting, you said, in various communities across the county. It has been mentioned numerous times at meetings for Irish water to attend, but they haven't done so.
No, they will not go into public meetings. And to be fair to our Director of Service, Michael McGarvey, he got a meeting with each of the MDs lately. But this is a national issue that needs to be addressed. We have population targets for the town of Letterkenny, you know, to grow in the next 10 years with the infrastructure that's planned there. There's not a hope in hell that that's going to happen. Also, like, you know, there's costing of connections, you know, sometimes up to €20,000. It's just not going to allow people to live and base themselves in this county.
That was Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher there on some of her concerns regarding the budget. More detail on the budget on our website, highlandradio.com. There are calls for an investigation into how COVID-19 is spreading at Letterkenny University Hospital. The call comes from Councillor Jerry McMonagall, a member of the Regional Health Forum West. He's been speaking as it emerged staff in the medical records department are isolating following an outbreak of the virus. There were 41 people yesterday COVID positive at Letterkenny University Hospital. Well, at a forum meeting last evening, Health CEO Tony Canavan said the right people are making the right decisions in Letterkenny.
What I would be very cautious about is getting involved in the management, the clinical management of individual cases at this forum. We have an outbreak control team in place, which comprises obviously all of the relevant clinicians from within Letterkenny University Hospital, including microbiology, including the infection prevention control staff, senior management, nursing and so on. It also includes the Director of Public Health for the Northwest. It includes occupational health and others as well that are advising. And they are the right people in the right place to make the right decisions in respect of Letterkenny University Hospital and the best way to manage that outbreak. And I can tell you that they're working extremely hard to get the situation back under control. It is difficult, I understand, for people living in the community looking in and waiting to hear good news and to hear that it has all been resolved. It will take time and we will continue to work on it. But the right people, the right experts, and the right people in the right location are making those decisions in the best interests of getting of providing safe services to people in Donegal. And it's not possible for us to get involved in kind of armchair epidemiology or armchair diagnosis of what the best approach to this is.
Well, Councillor McMonagall says he is not an armchair general and he's raising issues which have been brought to his attention by staff and patients. He says the hospital's policy on testing needs to be reviewed as a matter of urgency.
Policy isn't good enough, and this is coming from members of staff itself who are contacting me and saying that they're being sent for tests due to their closeness to someone who's contracted COVID and are being told that they have to come back to work before the test results have been processed. And I think that there's bordering on recklessness. I think that with the hospital and the situation that it finds itself in at the minute, with multiple cases of COVID amongst staff and patients, different wards within the hospital have had to be closed and deep cleaned. And indeed, just this last couple of days, the records department has also had an outbreak of COVID, resulting in members of staff out.
Now, Tony Canavan did say to you yesterday, as part of those comments, that the right decisions are made in the best interests of the patients at the hospital. What's your take on that?
I would imagine that if you bring people who are maybe suspect or close to someone who's had COVID back into work before their test results are known, you are going to run the risk of increased COVID infection. The situation is this. A lot of patients went into the hospital without COVID for other procedures and contracted it in there. And we must investigate how did that happen. The fact that it is running through the hospital and it's not in one department, but it seems to be spreading right throughout the hospital, is an issue of concern, not just for me, but for the staff. And I think the hospital needs to look at its policies again as regards testing.
Councillor Jerry McMonagall there. Well, the Zelda Hospital Group issued a statement to Highland Radio News this evening. It says the group acknowledges some staff at Letterkenny University Hospital who are not close contacts of confirmed cases are being tested for surveillance purposes. As per national guidance, Sylta says these staff can remain at work as they have no symptoms. Other staff are being advised to stay at home and the group says everyone should follow the clinical advice that they're being given. The group says the hospital continues to manage an outbreak of COVID-19, which is impacting on staffing levels, bed availability, non-emergency procedures and outpatient appointments. That statement can be read in full on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, the Thonaister said he hopes people will be able to visit their family and friends for 2 weeks around Christmas. A formal announcement on how Ireland exits Level 5 is set to be made on Friday evening. It's believed shops, gyms and hairdressers will be the first premises to reopen, with restaurants and hotels expected to follow, possibly the next week. Leo Radker says places that are deemed the safest will reopen first.
The highest risk scenarios are people congregating, you know, particularly in hospitality and sporting settings, and also people congregating in private homes. So they're the things we'll do towards the end. The things we'll do at the start are the things that we know to be safer. You know, for example, opening the shops, opening the gyms, allowing people to avail of personal services, you know, like getting a haircut, for example.
Well, the Garda Commissioner says some elements of the retail sector have been persistently difficult in ensuring compliance with COVID-19 laws. The industry is expected to be one of the first to reopen next week. Drew Harris says they've dealt with relatively no low number of incidents where coronavirus regulations have been breached, but he told a meeting of the police authority that enforcement of the rules has been needed in some sectors.
One of the areas which we didn't expect to be probably as persistently difficult has been around retail and some elements of retail not abiding within the regulations. The great majority of retailers are compliant, some aren't, and we're now at the place of reporting those retail outlets to the Director of Public Prosecutions for the breach of the regulations.
There needs to be an end to the Brexit process very soon, according to the Finance Minister. The EU and UK are still trying to iron out a future relationship agreement, but the President of the European Commission says there are still some issues to be decided. Last night, the US President-elect Joe Biden warned the border between the North and the Republic of Ireland must remain open post-Brexit. Well, Pascal Donoghue says there have been some delays, but talks are continuing.
We are truly reaching a point in which decisions will need to be made, and the reason for that is because these different agreements will then require ratification and agreement by either parliaments or by governments. Where it stands at the moment is, even though it has been delayed further, we do have to see a final outcome to this process very soon.
Well, the British government's independent forecaster says a no-deal Brexit would wipe 6% off the UK's economic output. The Office for Budget Responsibility had already forecast leaving the European Union would result in it falling by 4%. It says if a trade agreement isn't reached by December the 31st, the figure will drop by an additional 2% to start. Justice Minister Helen McEntee is set to face all questions tomorrow on the appointment of Supreme Court Judge Seamus Wolfe. The government bowed to opposition pressure to have a full debate on the issue after the collapse of the business committee. TDs on that committee are now to meet this evening to arrange a session on judicial appointments for tomorrow. Taoiseach Micheál Martin warned that though, however, whatever debate takes place must respect the separation of powers.
From the outset, my main aim has been, and my responsibility as Taoiseach, is to maintain the separation of powers. And also to maintain confidence in our judicial system.
The manager of the Donegal Domestic Violence Service says human trafficking, female genital mutilation and child marriage are not just global issues, but are being experienced by women in Letterkenny. Today is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, with the aim of raising awareness on a global scale. Dr. Marie Hainsworth says violence against women is something that the Donegal Domestic Violence Service is dealing with in all its forms.
What the United Nations does is it focuses on all different forms of violence. So, you know, you've got things like human trafficking, you've got female genital mutilation, you've got child marriages, you've got forced marriages, you've got sexual violence, you've got domestic violence. So it looks at the whole range of it. And obviously, most countries tend to pick on the issue that's prevalent in their particular country, and then they'll run a campaign around it. But the idea is to kind of bring some global unity. So, you know, it's also about advocates in each country supporting advocates in other countries, you know, that we don't see ourselves as working in isolation. And it's not an island-specific issue. It is a global, and we're part of a global movement.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at Michael Murphy Sports.
Just some breaking news this evening, and the former Argentinian footballer Diego Maradona has died at the age of 60. The footballing legend captained his country to World Cup victory in 1986 in Mexico. During his career, he played for Barcelona and Napoli and won two Serie A titles. Local media reports he died of a heart attack just weeks after being released from hospital following brain surgery to treat a blood clot. And now for the rest of today's sports news, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. Interviews for the vacant Tyrone senior manager's position are due to take place tonight. Fergal Hogan and Mickey Donnelly were speculated as the only two candidates in the mix to succeed Mickey Hart as Tyrone manager. However, it's understood Donnelly may have withdrawn his name from the race today. If that is the case, Fergal Hogan is the only candidate and will be appointed manager. It's believed his backroom team will consist of Brian Duher, Colly Holmes and the returning Peter Donnelly as coach from Monaghan. It's also speculated that Joe McMahon could be moving from Fermanagh to be part of a possible backroom team. Logan, of course, guided Tyrone to All-Ireland success in 2015. It's believed the Tyrone County Board will ratify and announce its new manager immediately after the interview process this evening. Elsewhere in the northwest, Sligo, of course, are also on the hunt for a new manager, and it's believed that there is two candidates vying for the senior position there. Sligo legend Eamon O'Hara is one, while the second is Tony McEntee. The Armagh man, of course, was part of Stephen Rochford's backroom team when he was with Mayo. Cavan have strongly denied they've attempted to move their All-Ireland semi-final with Dublin. Their Ulster final win secured a Croke Park date with the All-Ireland champions of the last 5 years. There had been claims Cavan would have preferred the game moved from what effectively is the home of Dublin football. But the county board say they never considered or applied for the game to be played anywhere other than Croke Park. To soccer, the FA Cup semi-final lineup will be completed tonight. Sligo Rovers play Derry City in the quarterfinals at the Showgrounds. The in-form Bidiff Red have won both league games between the sides this year. It's a 7:30 kick-off, with the winners set to face the holders Shamrock Rovers in the semi-finals. The last eight tie will finally be played some 25 days on from the original date at the start of the month. The game was postponed twice due to COVID-19 outbreaks at the Brandywell Club. Ali Gilchrist is the only absentee for Derry, as Declan Devine has all his players to choose from after completing another quarantine period. Gary Foy, sports editor of the Derry News, says preparations have been far from ideal for the Candy Stripes.
It's been a nightmare for Derry City over the past few weeks. I mean, I can't think of another club in the Premier League who's had similar problems. I mean, they go on the quarantine once is difficult enough, but twice over a matter of weeks it's so almost exhausting mentally for the players and for the manager and his coaching staff, not giving proper training sessions, having to play Shamrock Rovers and Cork in the space of 3 days, and then have to wait again for a cup quarter final, which is the be all and end all of the season at this stage. And if they won this game, hopefully they do, they're straight back on it this weekend at Tala against Shamrock Rovers, the champion. So it's so, so difficult for them. If you were going to, with team momentum at the minute, you would fancy Sligo because they finished fourth. They beat Dundalk on the final day. They great improvement since August when they were bottom of the table. So they've done brilliantly. But whereas Derry City has struggled for consistency. But the thing about this fixture over the years, it never goes with how the current form is. It's never predictable. Sligo Rovers have come to Brandywell and won against all odds. Derry City have gone to Sligo and won. So you can't really predict it in that sense, but I really do think whoever scores the first goal tonight will win. I don't think there's going to be many goals on it. It could go to extra time, could go to penalties.
Liverpool and Manchester City can both secure their last 16 places in the Champions League tonight. City are among the early starters. They're in Greece to take on Olympiacos at 5-6 and can book their place in the last 16 with a win. Manager Pep Guardiola has hinted Sergio Aguero may not play despite training with the group yesterday. City are yet to get past the quarterfinals under Guardiola, but he insists winning the tournament is not becoming an obsession.
We're going to try our best. So now we have an important chance, you know, to almost qualify. So that is so good, again, to be the best 60 teams in Europe. I had the feeling that we'll do really well this season.
Liverpool will have Mo Salah available for their meeting with Atalanta tonight at 8. Salah missed the 3-0 win over Leicester on Sunday due to a positive COVID test. Jurgen Klopp's side were 5-0 winners when the sides met earlier in the month. Victory again will see Liverpool progress to the knockout stages, but Klopp says they'll have to be at their best.
Atlanta would be a threat without a point to prove, to be honest. Atlanta is a top team, and it was a special way to play. At Atlanta, we did really well. We have to do well again. Otherwise, we have massive problems.
Dundalk's Jordan Flores has followed in the footsteps of Stephanie Roach in flying the Irish flag for the Puskas Award at the Best FIFA Awards. Flores' wonder strike against Shamrock Rovers in the Premier Division in February is among 11 entries on the shortlist for the goal of the year. Roach met a final shortlist of three back in 2015 for a goal she scored for Piemont United. Last year's winner Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are on the shortlist for the Men's Player of the Year. In total, there are 11 players nominated for the men's prize. The others are Thiago, now of Liverpool, Manchester City's Kevin De Bruyne, Kylian Mbappe, Robert Lewandowski, Neymar, Sergio Ramos, and Liverpool trio Mo Salah, Virgil van Dijk and Sadio Mane. Liverpool's Jurgen Klopp and Marcelo Bielsa of Leeds United are among five nominees for the men's coach. Finally in snooker, former world champion Stuart Bingham has become the second player to make a maximum 147 break in the first round of this year's UK Championships. The Englishman emulated Kyron Wilson's feat from the previous day in a 6-2 victory over Zach Schurte. Limerick's Leo Fernandez takes on the world champion Ronnie O'Sullivan in another first round tie. That takes place this evening. And that's your sport. We'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. A government minister has called on AIR to clarify comments blaming Sligo for poor performance at its call centres. The AIR CEO said it was a mistake to locate their call centre in the county as Sligo didn't have the skills. Minister and Sligo leader in South Donegal TD Frankie Feehan says he'll be writing to AIR as he doesn't believe the slight against the county is accurate. His comments have been echoed by independent Marion Harkin. The EPA says it's witnessing the erosion of ecosystems and biodiversity in Ireland on an unprecedented scale. The watchdog's new report says air quality in some urban areas doesn't meet global standards, while some bird species are under threat and over a million tonnes of food waste is being generated each year. The Environment Minister says he's ashamed by the findings. Sive O'Neill from Stop Climate Chaos says the government needs to urgently tackle the issues identified.
Until we start adhering to the recommendations of expert bodies like the EPA, nothing will change. So it's vital that we get the government to sit up and listen to this report and implement its recommendations as a matter of urgency.
And Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says he supports calls for the Irish greyhound industry to be defunded. Deputy Pringle was speaking on a private member's bill brought forward by the Social Democrats today calling for the end of state funding for the greyhound industry. He told the Dáil that the funding sanctioned for greyhound racing could be better spent elsewhere. And looking at the weather forecast for today, it'll be cold overnight with isolated showers dying out. Some clear spells with mist and fog patches will form, becoming dense in places. Lows of 0 to 3 degrees Celsius with patchy fog in light west to northwest breezes. They'll be coolest inland. Frost, mist and fog will clear most parts on Thursday morning to leave a dry day with some sunny spells. However, fog may linger in a few spots well into the afternoon. It'll be cool with top temperatures tomorrow 6 to 8 degrees Celsius in light southwest breezes, increasing moderate near the west coast. And that's Highland Radio News for this Wednesday evening. We'll take a closing look at the Northwest headlines. Donegal County Council has passed its budget for 2021 with Cathaoirleach Councillor Rina Donaghy welcoming the provision of €155.3 million to cover the Council's day-to-day spending next year. The Council's three-year capital budget will be considered separately next week. There are calls for an investigation into how COVID-19 is spreading at Letterkenny University Hospital. In a statement to Highland Radio, Sale, the hospital group says some staff at the hospital who are not close contacts of confirmed cases are being tested for surveillance purposes, and as per national guidelines, those staff can remain at work as they have no symptoms. However, Councillor Jerry McMonagall says he's not satisfied with the situation and he wants the testing policy at the hospital reviewed as a matter of urgency. And it's now thought that gyms, hairdressers and retail will be the first sectors to reopen next week. We're back with news headlines again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 25th of November. The death has taken place of Seamus Craig, Hillcrest Nursing Home, Letterkenny, formerly of Ardragh, County Donegal. Seamus will be repatriated to London, where he'll be buried in Lambeth Cemetery at a date to be announced in due course. This will be live streamed. The death has taken place in Shepherd's Bush, London, of George Devlin, formerly of Marion Park, Strabane. Funeral will take place in London and is private to family only. And the death has occurred of Moira McFadden, Knockfulla, Gwydor. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Columbkill's Church, Knockfulla, at 12 noon tomorrow. Family Flowers Only Please donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice. Due to government and HSE guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only please. Moira's Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page.